You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Whatamooly and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and I'm happy to say it's that time of the week again where we get to yarn all things science and technology with journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome to the program, sis.
Thanks for having me again.
Lovely to have you back to talk all things science and technology this week. We're going to start off by talking about prosthetic fins that could save injured rare turtles, which I like this story. Tell me more.
Yeah, this is a good one. I love turtles. Turtles are a special animal to me. And, you know, healthy oceans, they need the sea turtles. But unfortunately, they're often injured by boats and fishing nets. And this, combined with other threats like wild pigs eating the eggs and damaging nests, means that all seven species of sea turtles are now endangered. And having a damaged fin, that limits the swimming range and chance of survival for sea turtles. And it also stops the female sea turtles being able to return to land to lay their eggs. So researchers from AUT Biodesign Lab, which is actually in New Zealand, they've developed a prosthetic fin to rehabilitate the injured sea turtles, which is awesome. Yeah, and they went through a couple of different designs for the fin, and as usually tends to happen in these sort of circumstances, they've worked out that nature has worked out the best design for a fin. So they've copied the natural fin with how they move through the water from the turtle, and they've ended up with this molded polyurethane rubber fin that's cast over a 3D printed skeleton made from a really strong titanium alloy.
Wow.
And that's then implanted into the sea turtle's humerus bone through like an implant procedure that's really similar to how a hip replacement works in humans is the best way to describe it.
Mm.
And they actually built a robot turtle to test out the design first because, you know, they don't just want to go performing this surgery on injured turtles and putting them through more stress. But it's now been approved for clinical trials on living turtles. And the ideal next steps once those trials are finished is for wildlife rescue centres and vets all around the world to be able to 3D print these prosthetic fins to fit injured turtles that they come across anywhere, you know, across the planet. So it could be mean a really good future for sea turtles that have this injury.
Such an important story to cover today on our science and technology segment. Now we go from talking about prosthetic fins that could save injured turtles to introduced honeybees that may pose threat to native bees.
Yeah, I know that you love your bee stories. And
gotta love a good bee story.
This is a study that came out of Curtin University, actually, and it found that the introduced European honeybee, it could lead to native bee population decline or extinction when you've got these bee colonies competing for the same nectar and pollen in urban gardens and areas of bush. So competition between the native bees and the introduced European honeybee, it's really intense in residential gardens where you've got a lot of non-native flowers because the European honeybees are bigger in numbers and they communicate with each other in ways that the native honeybees don't. And they also collect from a wider range of flowers. So they can just outcompete our native bees for nectar and pollen resources. Not all native bee species are impacted by this, but when you've got native bees that prefer many of the same flower species as the honeybees, then you see that negative impact. You know, they're just not leaving enough nectar and pollen for our native bees. So the solution to this is to plant more flowering plants that are preferred by those vulnerable species of native bees.
Okay.
That can help them from declining in numbers. So we're looking at bottle brush, butterfly bush, daisies, gum trees if you've got room, grevillea, lavender, tea tree, honey myrtle, or native rosemary.
Wow.
So if you're planning a garden and you can get those into your garden, you can help support our native honeybees.
Gotta love a good bee story, Ray. Thanks so much for that one. Now we go from talking about introduced honeybees that may pose a threat to native bees to talking about the Pilbara rocks reveal the origins of Earth's earliest continents. What can you tell us about this story?
Yeah, this is just a quick little story about some rocks. So most of the Earth's continental crust, that formed over 2.5 billion years ago. But there's still a really big debate about how that actually happened. And the earliest continents were made by a type of granite that needed water to form. So a lot of the debate is, where did the water come from? Using the ancient rocks from the Pilbara region in Western Australia, Aussie scientists have just shown that the water needed to make that granite, it didn't come from above. It wasn't from rain. It was from the mantle of the Earth, you know, that thick layer below the Earth's crust.
Mm.
And this actually totally changes how we understand the formation of the planet, because it's been assumed up until now that there wasn't water below that crust of the planet, and everything came from the upper atmosphere. So that debate is still going to be raging, but the people saying, hey, you know, the granite is formed from water from below have something to back up their arguments. And it's those rocks in the Pilbara that they've studied that have helped give them the evidence. And I just love how we always discover something new about this planet that we're on, you know, in the middle of the universe. It's fantastic.
Gotta love that story. Now we go to talking about bone tools that have been found in harsh arid landscapes among oldest in Australia, Sis.
Yeah, this is new research that's actually reappraised the age of bone artifacts found in a famous Kimberley cave site as being more than 35,000 years old. So it makes them among the oldest bone tools found in Australia and in the world. So there was a team of scientists from across Australia that analysed 8 bone artifacts from the Wiri Cave in Mimbi Country in south central Kimberley in Western Australia. And 4 of the bone artifacts, they were found in layers dating between 35,000 and 46,000 years ago. And these artifacts were used for a wide range of activities at that site, including, you know, making plant fibre items like weaving baskets and processing spinifex resin, which is used to, you know, bind tools together, and fish or bird hunting as well. And these tools, they show that bone tools have been around for a very long time.
Wow.
And always have been made and used. But the older ones are hard to find these days because they haven't been surviving for long periods of time because of the climate in the area, especially up north. And until recently, bone artifacts of this age, they were only really found in Tassie and in really cold climates. So it was just kind of assumed that it was only rock tools used in the north. And now we're finding that bone tools have been used absolutely everywhere. And I think that that's really interesting.
Gotta love that story to end with today, right here on NITV Radio. You've been listening to our regular science and technology segment with journalist Ray Johnston. Thanks for joining me on the radio this week again, Sis. Lovely to have you back on.
Oh, always lovely to be here, anytime.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.